News is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The fact that I have such power in terms of numbers with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc., I think it helped me win all of these races where they're spending much more money than I spent.
Donald Trump appearing on 60 Minutes talking about the importance of social media to his election as president. Trump said when he gets into office, he'll be a little more judicious with his use of Twitter.
I'm going to do very restrained if I use it at all. I'm going to do very restrained. I find it tremendous. It's a modern form of communication. There should be nothing you should be ashamed of. It's where it's at.
There's a new date for the trial of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. Bergdahl facing charges of desertion and misbehavior before the enemy. Bergdahl claimed he was kidnapped by the Taliban when he was heading to another base to call attention to wrongdoing in his unit. The trial now, May 15th. USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Angie. If you're thinking about getting someone something really neat for the holidays, Ovation Hair has a beautiful holiday gift set. I've been using Ovation Hair products for a couple of years now, and I'm thrilled with the results. My mom lives with me, and she's cut my hair for, about 30 years. And, Mom, what difference do you notice in my hair?
It's a lot healthier. It's thicker. It doesn't break off. It's getting longer than it's ever gotten before. And it's just good, a healthy head of hair.
It's fluffy. I like it fluffy. Thank you, Mom. All right. I do love Ovation. You know that. Okay. So right now you can get an extra specially priced gift set for a savings of over 60%, a 7-piece gift set, saving you over $90, and you get the introductory discount. So go to ovationhair.com and click on Angie Austin Daybreak USA. Again, that's ovationhair.com, ovationhair.com. Buy early for the holidays. The set is beautiful. ovationhair.com.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, ceremony officiant with celebrationofalifetime.com. I joined the chamber so I can get to know you and what you're all about, and I hope you want to get to know me and what I'm all about. Then we can celebrate what we can do to make Hunterdon County better.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business.
Good afternoon. The weather tonight is going to be a slight chance of showers before 11 o'clock, and then there's more chance of showers after midnight. So figure any time from now on. Mostly cloudy with a low around 36, southwest winds around 5 miles an hour, and it'll be becoming calm after that. And the chance of precipitation is 20%. Tuesday, showers likely, mainly between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. It'll be cloudy, I can speak, with a high near 55. North winds around 7 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is 60%. New precipitation amounts between a quarter and a half of an inch possible. Tuesday night, a slight chance of showers before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 36, and a light west wind. Wednesday, there's a chance of showers after 3 p.m. in the afternoon, but it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 56. Winds becoming west 5 to 7 miles an hour in the afternoon. And Wednesday night, it'll be a slight chance of showers before midnight and partly cloudy with a low around 41. Thursday is supposed to be sunny and Friday is supposed to be sunny, but we'll see.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call Mommy Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. Mommy Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hunterton Medical Center's Hour. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and I am surrounded by three gorgeous women. And I don't know if I'll be able to talk after this, you know, just looking at these ladies. But we have with us, and I'm serious, I'm not kidding. We have with us Amanda Medina. Medina, I said that right,
yes,
right?
Yes, okay. Medina.
And she's a chronic disease coalition coordinator. Mm-hmm. You'll have to explain that because, you know, we have, am I going to pronounce it right, Rose Pooley?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's
not. Who's a population health coordinator at the Hunterton Healthcare Partners. And the easy one, Linda Powell, is, you know, employee care coordinator, who's a nurse, I understand.
That's true, okay. Registered nurse.
All right. Well, I want to welcome you all, first of all. And the other thing that I always do, because it always just interests me, how people got into their line of work. I asked somebody one time, and he said, oh, something happened when he, or it was a woman actually, she said something happened when she was a child, and then she always wanted to do this, this, and this, and that's how she got in it. I asked somebody else, and he said, well, I had a house, a car, two kids, a wife, no job, and I needed a job, and I've been doing this for the last 18 years, so, you know. So I'm just curious, if I could start with Amanda, you know, how'd you get into this line of work?
Sure, so I have a background in public health.
Okay.
So I worked in a cancer institute.
Okay.
And looking at cancer research. So that's what got me into this line of work with Hunterton Cancer Regional Cancer Center.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Me, this is Rose, and I started out life as a basic researcher, science. I have my PhD in microbiology, and I had twins and had to step out of my career for a while. So I ended up coming back to my career when West Nile virus hit and they needed microbiologists. And I entered back in public health at New Jersey State. So I worked for public health preparedness, also came about just about then. So I ended up at the state level in public health preparedness. And then here in Hunterdon County, I was in, I ran our division of public health preparedness for several years and helped with managing like the H1N1 vaccination campaign, the very successful vaccination campaign that we had here in Hunterdon County. And then the role opened up at Hunterdon Healthcare with the emphasis on moving to value-based care and wanting to understand kind of like the whole patient and understanding how important it is to have healthy populations.
Right.
So I've been involved with the Partnership for Health and looking at data about healthy populations for about 5 years now. And it's very, very exciting work that kind of pulls together all the expertise that I've managed to gather on my bizarre career path.
Awesome. You're up. You said you weren't going to talk much, but you can talk. You
know. This is Linda Powell. I'm a registered nurse, second career nurse. I became a nurse in my 40s. I was a criminologist for the state of New Jersey for close to 20 years.
That's interesting.
That's correct, yeah. And I became a nurse just because my mother passed away. It was time to reflect. I wanted to do something that I always wanted to do, so I went back to nursing school. I started 3 weeks after my son was born. So I've been a registered nurse for about 22 years.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
I worked on the floor. I'm actually an oncology nurse, certified case manager, certified med-surg nurse. And I worked in the hospital till around 2008, and then I went into case management. And I've been doing case management since about 2008. And that's what I do at Hunterdon Medical Center for the Hunterdon Healthcare Partners. I'm the case manager that really works with all the employees and their dependents.
Okay. Could you elaborate a little bit what case management does?
Well, what case management does, my particular population, I sort of act as a navigator and a resource for them. So say you have a particular new diagnosis and you're sort of lost and you don't really know where to go, I sort of steer you in the right direction.
Okay.
If you need a doctor, I help you find the correct doctor within our system if possible. I help you with a lot of insurance questions. We all know mm-hmm. insurance is very complicated. So I have a background working for an insurance company, so I'm able to help them there. And just there is a support for families and their dependents.
Great. That's awesome. All right. The topic today is quitting smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Linda and I talked earlier, and we both were ex-smokers. Either of you ex-smokers?
No.
No.
No. No, never started.
Hmm. Wish I never started, too, but you know, what are you going to do? It's ironic that when I quit, the reason I quit is they put me on a hospital bed in the hospital here, mm-hmm. flipped me upside down so that my head was pointing down, and they scraped the polyps off my vocal cords, and they said that was the last time, the only time they could do it. The next time they'd have to take them out. And with my big mouth, I'm thinking I'm going to have to talk through it. No, that was never going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I quit. But we understand that, you know, smoking is bad for your health, you know. In reality, you face it every day. How bad is it for your health?
It's really bad. This is Rose. JAMA just published, JAMA Internal Medicine just published a paper and relating the attributable deaths connected to smoking. So how much does smoking cause cancer?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is, you know, 28.6% of all cancers in the United States are related to smoking.
Hmm.
Or
wow.
Or, right, so tobacco use.
Yeah.
And right. For men, it's even worse. The range is up to 30% for men because more men smoke.
Whoa. Okay.
So there's a direct link between smoking and cancer.
That's one link. Is there other links besides smoking and something else besides just cancer?
Well, in addition to what the cancer-causing side effects of smoking, people that are under medical care, they've found that people that have surgery have less of a favorable outcome. It delays the healing process. They tend to have blood clots. They tend to have respiratory problems postoperatively. Wound healing is slowed down by smoking. So it has a long range of side effects, cardiovascular, pulmonary being the most serious. And then, as Rose said, nearly one-third of the cancers are somehow related to smoking. Obviously, lung cancer being the number one, but now we're finding that there's even
other
a relationship
cancers.
To pancreatic cancer.
Stomach cancers.
Stomach
right.
cancers.
Kidney cancer.
You know, kidney,
cancer.
Mouth, larynx, this. Bladder, esophagus, leukemia, liver, colon, and breast. They're all have all been related to smoking.
Over 17 cancers are related to it. And if you smoking kills more than a combined of alcohol, card accidents, HIV, guns, and illegal drugs combined.
Whoa.
So it's a huge problem.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you wonder with all the, talking about it and the bad things and, you know, the ads you see on television and everything like that, why people still start, you know. You know, I understand that in some cases it's calms them, mm-hmm. you know. But I'll never forget when I quit, I was driving to work, and I always drove the same way. Obviously, we most of us drive the same way to work all the time. And it was like I got off 287 onto Route 18, River Road, mm-hmm. and I get to the first traffic light, and I'm reaching, you know, because that's where I always lit a cigarette up.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like habit, you know. So instead I reached on the seat and got a pretzel instead, you know. So that didn't help because I gained weight after that. But it was the doctor says it's better than smoking. So, you know, but, mm-hmm. You know, he says you can lose the weight later, you know, longer, you know. How does it affect your body when you quit smoking?
Well, initially, right after you smoke, They say, I mean, according to the literature, and I'm looking at American Cancer Society literature, and there's a lot of literature out there on all different types of websites, right. But I'm going to use the American Cancer Society. We know that cigarette smoking increases your heart rate and your blood pressure. Within 20 minutes of smoking, it starts to drop, of not smoking. You know, 12 hours after quitting, your carbon monoxide level drops back to normal. So smoking decreases the ability of your red blood cells to carry oxygen to the appropriate cells. So that's one of the negative side effects. So that changes 12 hours. And then your circulation and your lung function are affected in a negative way. And they say two weeks to 3 months after quitting, they start to, the function of those, your lungs begin to increase. So there's a lot of things that start to change relatively quickly.
You know, when you were listing all the, Amanda, when you were listing all the,
other deaths.
Breast cancer just never struck me as, you know, could be related to smoking. That just didn't, you know. I mean, all the others, yeah, I can understand, you know, but breast cancer just didn't. I don't know why. I mean, it just, you know, I'm assuming it is because it's, you know, I'm sure you would know, but how can the nicotine affect the breast or what? I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't understand.
In a cigarette, there's over 7,000 carcinogens or chemicals related to cancer that cause cancer. The majority cause cancer. So there's a lot of scientists out there trying to figure out which of those chemicals and what they're doing to the cells. And they are finding that they are changing the cells. So your cells are morphed into becoming cancer related.
Okay.
So there's just
a lot. It's just, you know, it's just something you don't think of. You think of, you know, oh, yeah, well, you know, the woman, I've known, you know, I've known quite a few women who have had breast cancer. In fact, just a friend of ours just called the other day and said to my wife that she has it. But, you know, you think a lump or, you know, something like that. I mean, I'm no doctor by any stretch. But, you know, you just think something like that is what you hear about most of the time, you know. But, you know, that lump could have been caused by cancer. You know, it could be caused by smoking, maybe. I don't know. This woman did never smoke, so. No, so it, you know, but anyway, what are some of the methods that you would recommend someone to quit smoking? Other than being put on a hospital bed and having their vocal cords scraped and scaring the daylights out of them.
Well, that, yeah, unfortunately, sometimes that's one of the reasons people stop is because they do have a health scare. They're told that if they don't stop smoking, you know, they may have surgery and they may lose their voice or you know, they may die. There's a lot of ways to stop. You can always just stop cold turkey, but that tends to be the hardest.
I stopped about 38 times before I stopped,
Right, and the important thing to remember about when you stop is it's a process, and failed attempts do not mean that you should stop attempting to stop. It usually takes 7 to 8 times to quit.
I wasn't exaggerating when I said about 30 times I stopped, you know.
So they recommend, you know, there are medications that are out there on the market, Zyban, Shantex, and there are also nicotine replacement therapies that are available over-the-counter for purchase, and now insurance companies are starting to cover the nicotine replacement therapy with prescriptions, so your insurance companies are beginning to pay for this. So, and what they have found that the best way to stop is to use a combination therapy, either medication, nicotine replacement therapy, with supportive group counseling or individual counseling. So it's a combination of those efforts that are the most successful.
Well, I know that before, right after I had the surgery, actually, at that time, he wrote a prescription for the patches. And so I had it for, there was 6 weeks, I think, 2 weeks at the high, then 2 weeks a little lower, then 2 weeks lower than that. And I had it on my dresser. And after 2 weeks, I said, since I've been 15, I've been smoking. I've been addicted to it. What's to stop me from getting addicted to these patches? So I stopped after 2 weeks, and it never bothered me. I mean, yeah, I got a little irritable here and there, you know, but, you know, I worked through it, and my wife went in the other room and shut the door, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, it just I just felt that you could be addicted to it. Now that same patch you can buy over the counter. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to get a prescription for it. So, I mean, you really just – and I know somebody. I worked with somebody, and I physically seen him have a patch on, and he lit a cigarette, and he almost died right there. I mean, he had almost, you know, as close to a heart attack as you can. He couldn't breathe. He was gasping for breath and collapsed, and, you know, EMS came, and we had to call an ambulance and all that. But, you know, so I'll tell anybody out there listening, if you're wearing a patch, don't smoke, you know, because
well,
it's...
That's not exactly true, though, because you can use nicotine replacement therapy even if you have cardiovascular disease, because you have to think about the harms of the cigarette smoke is through the combustion of the carcinogenic chemicals, 7,000 of them that are in the cigarette. The nicotine in and of itself will not harm you. So nicotine replacement therapy under the guidance of a doctor is safe. And you have to think about it. Is it safer to use a patch that just gives you nicotine, mm-hmm. or is it better to smoke a cigarette with all those known carcinogens? Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's safer to use the patch or to use the gum or to use a combination. They have a nasal spray. They have an inhaler. So all of those, and the best therapy is a combination of the above, you know, nicotine replacement medication and support.
Yeah, but not smoke while you're using it.
But even if you do smoke, you have to still keep going forward.
Oh, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that you won't have right. a setback. As I said, I had 30 plus of them. But I was under the impression that if you wore the patch, you shouldn't smoke with the patch on.
Well, you shouldn't smoke because you're trying to quit, but there is no evidence that if you wear a patch, something bad's going to happen to you. You're not going to implode. It's okay.
So this was a rare circumstance.
Maybe he had other medical conditions.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I was just curious. But
that's why they put the patch on you when you're in the hospital, because it's safe to use with the, you know, the guidance of a doctor, obviously.
Well, what about these, what do you call them then? They're getting a lot of publicity now, these cigarettes that...
The e-cigarettes.
Yeah, e-cigarettes. There you go. Couldn't think of what it was.
Yeah, that there's there's some philosophy out there that's popular in Great Britain, for example, that you can use an e-cigarette instead of a regular cigarette. Mm-hmm. The jury's still out on whether people will, you know, many people think that people end up using both instead of quitting regular cigarette use. And we don't really have a good handle yet on the harms of e-cigarettes to our lungs. Mm-hmm. So in general, the public health message, which I agree with, is to not smoke either. All right. So e-cigarettes are not good for you. And you can use them to inhale nicotine. So they can become addictive, just as regular cigarette smoking is. However, between the two, if you were to choose between, you know, a regular cigarette and an e-cigarette is, I hate to use the word healthier, but it is an option. But doing both is not
less
good.
It is less
destructive yeah. for what we know now. But we don't know as much about e-cigarette use compared to the decades of really top-notch research on the harms of regular smoking.
And to kind of piggyback on what Rose said is that with the e-cigarettes, kids are using e-cigarettes. And what research is showing now, it's linking kids are starting off with e-cigarettes and then they're going to cigarettes. And you just said, you made a comment that you started at 15 years old.
Yeah.
You said that's what's happening. A lot of these kids are starting early, 15, 16, 17, whatever, and it gets addictive. If they start at e-cigarettes, they're going to move on to cigarettes.
I won't tell you how old I am, but let's just say that the day that I started is vivid in my memory, because there was a little corner drugstore, grocery store, not drugstore, but a little corner market, and a lady that ran it always kept the lights out until somebody came in, and she would sell cigarettes individually. Mm-hmm. You could buy one cigarette for, I don't know, 2 cents or whatever it was, and if you paid 3 cents, you got a book of matches. Well, across the street from where this was a park. So I take my one cigarette. It was a lucky strike. I take my lucky strike. I go across the street. I used the entire book of matches, and I couldn't get the darn thing lit. That should have told me something, but it didn't. I went back and bought another pack of matches, and then I finally lit it. But it's just how different things are now, you know. And you look at the prices of them. My heavens. You know.
One of the big benefits of quitting smoking is financial.
Yeah,
because
it is a
one pack a day smoker. The estimates are spends $1,800 on cigarette products alone, and that's not counting the breath mints, the Febreze to get the smoke out of your house. You know, any effort you take to clean your teeth or eliminate smells from your car, or anything right. else, but just $1,800 on the cost of the cigarettes alone.
Right, right.
So it's a major financial benefit.
Yeah, and you look in, like in New York City, mm-hmm. you can spend up to $10 for a pack of cigarettes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm too cheap for that. I'm sorry. I couldn't spend I could spend $10 on an ice cream cone or, something like that. But cigarettes, no. not anymore anyway, Maybe there was a time I would have, but not now. Is there only the e-cigarette or is there another kind of?
They vape. It's called vaping.
Vaping is using e-cigarettes. I mean, they're different mechanisms. Some of them don't look like a cigarette. Some of the
right,
people you vape
right.
don't necessarily look like a cigarette.
Right. They
but
look
it's,
like a,
it's
more
a version
like a
of vaping.
Package or something, or I don't know, like a box or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But what is the difference between the two?
Between an e-cigarette and a regular cigarette?
No, between the... What do you call a vapor cigarette or something you called it?
Yeah, different kinds of mechanisms for getting it in that you would use at a vape shop. I'm not really an expert on the different types that they're available.
I know there's like portable hookahs.
Yes,
now,
portable ones.
So they're doing
what?
Like portable hookah pipes.
Okay.
So it's like a hookah pipe, the large ones, but smaller. So kids are starting to do that. And they have it in different flavors. So you could get like a green apple. With all these chemicals in it, because whatever is the vaping, and then the hookahs, and then you have the different liquids for the e-cigs.
But the same mechanisms, the same advertising that were originally used to get people like you to try a cigarette, mm-hmm. are being used with e-cigarettes now, right? And we don't.
Yeah.
And just like then, just like back then, we don't know the hazards associated with it.
Right. Right.
So, all these people who are doing this are going to be exposed to hazards that we do not understand. And I don't think it's looking good as we're learning what's going to happen.
And it's children.
A lot of the marketing is geared towards young, like the Joe Camel that used to be marketed to get the younger people to mm-hmm. the Joe Camel. A lot of the vaping and the e-cigarettes are specifically targeted through their advertisements and their flavoring to the younger market. I just want to make one comment about the economics of smoking. What happens if people buy a pack of cigarettes, so they go outside and say it takes 11 minutes to smoke a cigarette, they don't have enough time. So what they're doing is they're putting the cigarettes out and they're, I think they call it rebutting, or, mm-hmm. and that's actually more harmful than just smoking the whole cigarette because there's more combustion and the chemicals
really?
Are even stronger. So people that are trying to save money by rebutting, it's actually been shown to be more harmful than just smoking mm-hmm. a cigarette. So they rebut to save money.
And keep in mind the cost for increased health care. Smokers go to the doctor more than other people.
Yeah.
Tobacco
That's
users
true.
Go, they spend
think,
more
yeah.
money in health care than other people, than non-smokers do. And that adds up. So think about what you want to spend your money on. The effort to try to quit is well worth it financially mm-hmm. for you.
And my wife used to say, don't smoke in a house. That stinks. That's mm-hmm. why. And when you're smoking, you don't smell it. At least I didn't. And now if someone smokes and it's on their clothes, it stinks. I'm sorry, but it does, mm-hmm. And unfortunately, if someone near me lights a Marlboro up, I have to walk away because I've got a vindictive personality and I stay around too long with somebody with a Marlboro and I'll be back smoking, But it's just,
Yeah, it's
and I can smell it. I can tell it's a Marlboro, yeah. And I walk away.
And if we put, food will taste better. Yes. Okay, food will taste better. So, you know, you'll enjoy your meals more. Your sense of smell returns to normal. Your breath, hair, and clothes will smell better. Your teeth and fingernails will stop turning yellow. Ordinary activities you can do them more energetically. You know, you'll be less out of breath. So when you climb those stairs, you'll be able to do it faster and better, mm-hmm. and not be out of breath at the top of the stairs, mm-hmm.
right.
that you feel.
Right.
And then you can be in smoke-free buildings. You don't have to go out and stand outside on a cold day. There are so many benefits. And we know cigarette smoking is addictive. We know that in healthcare.
Sure it is.
It's addictive. There's no doubt about it. And many people started smoking because there was a social aspect to it. You know, you look wonderful, or you could hang out with people. It's a way to take a break from your activities. It's a way to mentally step out by doing this. So what we recommend when you're trying to quit is to make it social also. So try to quit with somebody. Try to connect socially with people, with groups who are like-minded, so that you have that support that you need. So it's more than, we recommend that you go to the doctor and you try to get some counseling sessions. It'll be easier and more supportive if you have people who are encouraging you to do that. So even people who don't smoke, your family members can send you encouraging text messages every day. A friend can take you someplace when you feel like, oh, you know, every Friday night I used to, mm-hmm. you know, sit down and have a cigarette. So really enlist people to help you. You know, this is something you don't have to do this yourself. You know, there are quit lines. There are more resources, I think, than ever before in terms of the combinations of therapies that are out there, the type of counseling that's out there, and it's covered by health insurance now when it didn't used to be. And I think you'll be amazed at the people who want to help you be healthier. If you just take a step toward them.
You know, it's just, I don't know, I've got this weird idea that, you know, with all the laws and rules and regulations that the government puts out, half of which I think are dumb, but that's my opinion, but why don't they do something about this? Why don't they do something about limiting what these organizations and companies putting this stuff out is affecting young people, which could affect their lives down the road. And you would think that there would be some restrictions, or more so than what there is. I mean, yeah, okay, you got to be such and such to buy cigarettes. So they get the kid next door that's 3 years older, and he goes in and buys it for him. You know, so like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, but there should be some kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems to me there should be some kind of regulation with, you know, younger kids and teenagers and stuff, you know.
Well, some of the effective laws that were out there were those that you couldn't advertise to children,
right.
under a certain age,
18 and under,
and mm-hmm. some of the high cost of cigarettes is partially due to the taxes that were imposed upon them to help address the public health issues, because increasing health care costs cost us as a nation too. Mm-hmm. Remember, Medicare covers every legal U.S. citizen at the age of 65 if they choose to go onto it. So that adds up in the long run. Mm-hmm. So every smoker that you have in your system that you're trying to take care of as they age just adds to the health care dollars that our whole nation spends together.
Okay.
And a person who quits has far fewer health issues than one who maintains their smoking. I mean, we see it in our numbers. I look at the data, and I wish people could see the numbers that I see about, you know, mm-hmm. what happens to people who continue to smoke.
Right, right.
You know, it shows up in the aging, you know, the aging numbers that we see.
All right. Say someone comes to you, Amanda, mm-hmm. and what's the process that you do to help them? Quitting smoking or whatever.
So at the Cancer Center and at Hunterdon Healthcare, we have Linda was. She's a certified tobacco
cessation specialist.
Yes, okay. It's a CTTS. Okay.
Yes.
All those acronyms, I can't stand them.
Yeah. So she is trained to help people quit smoking. So if any of the patients want to stop smoking, they'll go to one of these certified training trained specialists to get a very comprehensive education on how to stop, how to quit smoking. So they'll take them, step by step on what to do and navigate that through the system. Get them to see their primary care physician, to get their wellness visit in, to make sure, you know, they're getting their visits in, to make sure that they're getting the nicotine replacement therapy that they need, to make sure they have the social support that Rose spoke about. There's different aspects, different components to a very great comprehensive program. And these CTTSs, their job, that's one of their jobs, is to do this for these patients. And at the Cancer Center specifically, we have two CTTSs that do that with our cancer patients. Because then they tell them that, you know, if you don't stop smoking, your cancer treatment's not going to be as effective. You're not going to heal. Your wounds are not going to heal if you had any type of surgery. Your radiation spots will not heal as well. So there's a lot of consequences if you're continuing to smoke and getting treatment.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just amazing, I think, you know, that, and there's a whole lot of people that quit, you know.
And they're wonderful.
And, you know, I mean, Linda said she quit 30 years ago. I quit about 28 years ago. And I was smoking a pack and a half, almost two packs a day. And, you know, I say smoking because at that time you could smoke at work if you were in an office, you know. And I worked in a plant, so you couldn't do it in a plant because it was, you know, Wunderbread, you know. But you were in an office, you could do it in the office. So a lot of times I'd light it up and put it in the ashtray and it would burn itself out, you know, or burn down to nothing, and then you light another one up, and, you know, but still, it was on an average about a pack and a half a day. And, you know, you stop and think of today's prices. At a pack and a half, or say, pack and a half to two packs a day, Lord, you know, my kids would go hungry, you know, I couldn't feed them, you know. But it's, I don't know, it's just, it's just something that, it's a shame that we have that out. Well, it's just like any other addictive thing, gambling, you know, drugs. It's the same thing, basically. If the person's personality is addictive, like mine is, you know, that's why I don't go to Atlantic City or, you know, Easton or places like that, because I know me. And in fact, when I where we did go, a lot of times when I at the plant I worked at, we'd go. I'd always take all my credit cards and leave them home. I would take only a certain amount of money. I would make sure my car had gas because we'd drive down to Atlantic City, and I made sure at that time there were a quarter for the tolls, and I made sure I had a bucket full of quarters in the, for the tolls because I know me. You know, I would my house would have been gone. You know, and everything because once I get started, it would be over. You know. So I don't go, you know, or unless I go that way, you know. And I'm lucky my wife doesn't like Atlantic City or any of these places, so we don't go. But
All the mechanisms you're describing are really good ways for smokers to avoid. So you want to avoid those situations that make you want to smoke. Like you said, you lit up at a certain intersection every day.
Yeah,
so
I did.
You need something else to do. You need to take a snack, or you need to take a walk, or you need to call someone. So you have to develop. It's not as simple. I think many people may believe that, you know, the doctors put these patches on you, or they tell you to have a patch and chew some gum, and that's it. That's it's more than that. You have to be more actively engaged in the cessation process than that.
Sure
you have to think, okay, when am I going to want to light up? You know, what time of day, and how can I avoid that? Do I play a video game in that time period instead of smoking? Do I call someone every time I want to light up?
Places that I would light up all the time, you know, after dinner, you know, after breakfast, lunch. You know,
after coffee,
coffee morning coffee, or coffee break in the afternoon, or whatever. So there's certain periods of times that you know you're going to do this, you know, and that's they were the hardest part to attempt to do something or just put it out of your mind. You know, you're not going to do this, you know.
Yeah, and absolutely. And if that was your time to relax, you still need a time to relax. So you need to figure out some other way to relax. Outside of smoking.
Right.
So you need a coping mechanism and then some new activities that set you on a different path.
What secondhand smoke? Everybody's now talking about how secondhand smoke is so dangerous and, you know. Well, I'm sure that children would suffer from secondhand smoke also. Not only you and I or anybody else, they're adults, but children would also. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. With the secondhand smoke and kids, well, kids are more vulnerable to different infections and, you know, other types of diseases. So when you have, if you're smoking around children or you have the smoke on your clothes, which is still considered secondhand smoke.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
If you have a baby and you're holding a baby and you're selling the secondhand smoke, that baby is getting the same carcinogens as what your clothes has. So it is influencing, it's impacting the child. And the child and the children around you smoking. Hmm. And I think a lot of parents don't understand that. They think if I just smoke outside the window,
go on a front porch or something. Yeah.
Or on porch, our children won't be affected. They will be affected. There's more incidence of asthma and other respiratory infections with kids who are around cigarette smoking or any type of cigarette smoking or tobacco use. So there is definitely high levels of issues, health issues with those children. You do see more asthma, more respiratory infections, more just different childhood infections. And it continues to adulthood too. So right now there's so many studies that are showing the effects of secondhand smokes among kids.
How do you at the Hunterkin Healthcare help the kids who are subject to secondhand smoke? Do you attempt to get their parents to come to classes or?
We evaluate if they're smoking in the home.
Okay.
So, and I think the physicians would counsel about the dangers of smoking to those parents whose children. So part of the normal questions that you ask, you know, is your child exposed to smoking in the home or other places? And I think with Thanksgiving coming up, it's important to realize that if you're taking your child and you're visiting someone who smokes, that's secondhand smoke. You know, they're getting a dose of really bad air. And is that want? So think about secondhand smoke as you're traveling and visiting relatives and, you know, watch that exposure for your children. But yeah, we do evaluate if secondhand smoking is happening in homes, and the physicians do try to talk to parents about what the risks are for their children with the occurrence of smoking in the home.
Absolutely. I know my son, he's 6 and he has asthma, and his pediatrician from Hunterdon Healthcare is an amazing pediatrician. He'll talk to me for many times and says, make sure he's not around somebody who's smoking or make sure he's not in a home environment. We, as a parent of an asthma child, you really don't know until it happens and you go in and you see your child start coughing around somebody who's smoking. So it does affect, I mean, of course his asthma, we'll see it, but kids who don't have asthma are still getting the same level of carcinogens in the air. So we, you know, at Hunterdon Healthcare, the physicians, the nurses, the staff always try to protect the children.
Right. Yeah.
To come in.
And I know we talked a little bit about this earlier, but you're recommending the cessation supplements like Nicorette gum and stuff like that. All right. You're saying, if I understood this correctly, you could chew the gum and also have a patch on. Is that correct?
It depends on what you're in. I'm not the specialist here. To tell you, so your doctor, you know, you have to work with your doctor to work out what combinations of things will work for you. But I do know combinations are allowed, and they didn't used to be to the extent that they are now.
No,
we know much, much more about how these therapies can work, and different people react in different ways to them, and what level for what would work for you may not work for someone else, so you may require a different dosage on it, and there are different doses out there than were before in combinations. So whether specifically you can wear a patch and chew gum, I think, you know, you'd have to talk to your doctor if that's appropriate for you. But yeah, combinations are appropriate now. And that's why I think it's especially important to note that if you've tried and failed, that's normal.
Yes. Yeah.
For smoke, because you're addicted. Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's
so
an addiction.
You are addicted. And to try and fail is normal in that cycle. And if you've tried 10 years ago and think that you can't do it now, take another look at that, because things have changed. And we know a lot more about the importance of the social interaction. So give it a shot.
Resources.
It's really worth looking at some of the new therapies, the new combinations out there. I think physicians have more training than what they've had in the past on the dangers, not only the dangers of smoking, but the, you know, some of the advantages of quitting and working with patients who really want to quit, you know, and easing them along, you know, evaluating where are you in your decision to quit. You may be very early out there and just want to think about it. And they may call you back and say, well, where are you now with this? Are you ready? And unfortunately, sometimes it's a certain life event that either happens to you. You talked about your hospitalization. It could be seeing a dear friend pass away early. You know, think of those opportunities you missed.
You know, they stuck a tube or something down my throat and almost killed me that way. And, you know, found out that I had polyps on my vocal cords. Somehow they did it, whether it was a movie camera or what, I don't know. But and so that's how I had the procedure. And they told me that was the only time they could do it because the vocal cords were, when they scraped them, it was thin and, you know, yada, yada. So like I said, with my big mouth, there wasn't any way I was going to talk through a, you know, a machine that type. But now I know we were talking about the resources that Hunterdon offers. And a thought just popped into my head. And this may sound weird, so bear with me. We have AA. We have NA for alcohol and narcotics, which I'm sure you know. Is there any smokers club?
There is.
There is.
But wow. I'm trying. I don't remember the specifics of it.
The American Lung Association has, it's called Freedom from Smoking. And so their programs, there are 12-week programs that a specialist, a certified specialist will come in and do a training with or do education with these smokers. And they don't quit that day, the day one.
Right.
But that specialist will come in and show them slowly, okay, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to prepare for quit day. And then quit day's in the middle of the program, like say week six, and then the rest is some more support group, more like social support group, resources, how to navigate your healthcare system, talk to your doctor. There's different components to the after quit day. So that's one national program that we have in New Jersey. And I know with our CTTSs at Hunterdon Healthcare, you get one-to-one counseling. And, of course, with your physician, you, of course, get more education.
And there are social networks, too. So if you search, there are apps that can help you with this and social networks of people who are quitting and can send you encouraging messages.
Yeah.
So there's you can use technology to your benefit.
That's just now,
so that's we think of social networks as like a club you go to. And actually, for younger people and not so younger people, some of the biggest users of the internet now and apps are elderly folks. But there are social networks. So you don't necessarily even have to step out of your house to be part of a social group. Of like-minded people who are desperately trying to improve their health by by quitting smoking.
I just thought, you know, that because we have them at the hospital. Have, you know, AA groups at the hospital.
I think at one time there was a smoking cessation group of you know, citizens who were trying. I think it comes and goes in Hunterdon.
I think it's like anything else. If you're got to the point where it's been a while and you've quit and, you know, the chances are, are not that you're going to go back or fall back because you've been quit for so long. So I think, I can understand it, you know. Going. But I think with the people that are just starting to quit or just have just quit, along with all the others, it might not be a bad idea, you know. You know, we run a support group for families who have mentally ill relatives or friends or whatever. And we've been doing it for years. But it helps. The people can come there. It's totally confidential. And, you know, they can talk, and people either have been through what they're going through or are going through the same thing or are just starting to. And, you know, people throw out ideas. Well, we tried this. You ought to try that. You know, maybe you try it and see what happens, you know. And and it's that sort of thing. And I just thought, you know, talking about, you know, might not be a bad idea.
It's a good thought. It really is a good thought.
You know, I mean, yeah, with all the social media and everything, sure, you may not need it, but if that's the case, then why do you need an NA group and an AA group? You know?
Exactly. I agree that personal interaction can be key for a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
I think you're right, hearing techniques that work for you.
Because what works for me may not work for you, but it may work for Amanda, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. what worked for her may not work for Jane over here or right. whatever, you know. So it's just like medication. You know, one medication may work for me and not work for either one of you,
mm-hmm.
you know, but what works for you may not work for me or vice versa, you know. So I think it gives the people support
mm-hmm.
to continue forward with yeah. what they're doing.
Absolutely. You know?
And they have people that they can call or whatever if they have to or, you know, mm-hmm. reach out to or, you know. So it's just a thought.
Yeah, that's
know?
A great idea. That's a good thought.
You know?
Well, this Thursday is the Great American Smokeout.
Yes, and we're going to talk about that right now. in our last 7-8 minutes. See how time flies when you're having fun?
It does.
Yeah. All right. This Thursday.
This Thursday is the Great American Smokeout.
Okay. And that's what, the 17th?
It's the 17th.
Okay. And so could you talk a little about it? And what is it? And what does it do? And where is it held? And where?
So it's a national day. Historically, I think it was a coalition of mm-hmm. including the American Cancer Society of groups that were interested in getting people to quit. So it's a day, every day on this Thursday in November. Organizations like ours try to encourage people to quit smoking at least for that day, and with the hopes that they'll go beyond that day. And even if you give up one cigarette, it's estimated that you get 11 minutes of your life back, longer, that you'll live 11 minutes longer for every single cigarette that you give up smoking. So even if you gave up five cigarettes for the Great mm-hmm. American Smokeout, you get almost an hour of life extended for you. So hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands of people give up smoking for that day, and hopefully many of them
continue.
Go forward. And we're having an event, if we could call it, called Hunterdon Kicks Butts mm-hmm. here for our practices. So we currently have a competition among 16 practices in the Hunterdon Healthcare overall system. And we're competing to see which practice can convince the most people to give up cigarettes for the Great American Smokeout on Thursday.
Hmm.
We don't know who's winning that competition right now.
Mm-hmm.
We will know on Thursday, but calls are being made.
Mm-hmm.
Efforts, you know,
are
nurses,
you reaching out to people?
We are
is
calling
that what
it people.
Okay.
We're trying to convince.
We're
trying to convince our smokers, our patients who are smokers.
Okay.
We have about 9,000 patients
mm-hmm.
In the system, in the electronic health record system.
That are smokers?
Yeah, that are smokers. With, you know, we have a lot of patients, but that's still a lot of smokers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're trying to
And even if you could get 5%.
A small percentage.
You know?
I would be thrilled if we got one person.
Yeah.
Quit smoking, long run, quite frankly, for these efforts. I would be thrilled, and I'm hoping we're getting more than that
right.
to quit
yeah.
smoking. But we are making an intense effort to reach out to those folks and, like, you know, you can have a healthier life if you just, you know, make this commitment to just give it a good try. Give it a good try. You may try and fail, but then try again,
mm-hmm.
and we can help you with that.
If there was a – and I see her every now and then. I am so terrible with names. But she works at the hospital.
Maria.
Dark hair, black hair.
Maria Feo.
I don't remember names.
She's one of our tobacco cessation specialists.
She was on the radio a year or so ago, and she had a table set up.
Yes, Maria.
Yes, that's Maria.
Okay. I just, like I said, names go out of my head. But she's very adamant about, you know, quitting smoking and such. And I was wondering if you guys were going to have a table up in the hospital again like you did before.
Probably not, because Maria's actually on vacation right now, and so she won't have a table.
I think she's at a training.
She's at a training?
Okay.
And I won't be there. But I know the pharmacy department usually has something in the front with
the
Hunterdon Regional Pharmacy
right.
sometimes displays their NRT materials and some other materials to share with the people coming in. Patients or family
right,
members.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think this year we're thinking much bigger. You know, we're thinking of calling those patients who are smokers, doing you know, we have call scripts that are motivating them to quit. We have letters that our champions are sending out to the patients. We, you know, there's just different mechanisms in place to right. try to convince these patients to quit at least one day.
Yeah, we went large scale this year.
Yeah, so instead of instead of a table, we're and then the patients will also be getting for one patient per practice. A chosen patient will be getting a gift from Hunterdon Healthcare. That would be a 4-week free NRT to kind of get them started.
All right, explain what NRT is.
Oh, a nicotine replacement therapy.
There you go. See, I thought your acronyms are terrible.
I know.
I hate acronyms. I'm on a mental health board, and last year, a year or so ago, the chairman there, she gave us a booklet, about yay thick, of all the acronyms, you know, of all these different organizations. And I looked at her, I says, you honestly expect me to remember all these? Right. It's not happening, you know. But, you know, everybody uses them, you know, like NAMI, you know, National Alliance on Mental Illness, you know, it's NAMI, you know, that sort of thing. But, no, I look at things from my point of view, what I do with NAMI, presentations and support groups and teach classes and stuff like that, that, and the radio shows, you know, if I can help one person, that's all that matters. It makes it all worthwhile. And, you know, if you can get, if in your smokeout day, you get one person to quit and really quit.
Exactly. We're hoping that many people.
You know, we're hoping as many as possible, absolutely. But if you get one, makes it worthwhile.
Yes.
You know, at least in my eyes.
I agree.
Because people always ask me, what do you do all this stuff for? You know, blah, blah, you're retired. I work harder now than when I worked. Because when I worked, I was a boss. You do this, you do that, you know, that sort of thing. Now I look at my wife and she laughs. You know? But she helps me with a lot of this stuff. She teaches classes with me and runs support groups and stuff. But
And I also point out we target the smokers in trying to convince that. But if you love somebody who smokes, you can be an advocate for, like, you know, please tell them to go to the doctor and talk to them that you may be interested. So those people we care about, our friends and relatives that we're going to see during the season, you know, be a voice for us. Quietly tell them over and over again, I really care about you. I want to be with you for a long, long time. Yep. Go to the doctor. Talk to them about giving up your habit.
And this Thursday is the Great American Smokeout. So if you're a smoker, this Thursday, work up to Thursday, quit. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. And we hope that you get as many as you possibly can on your list of quitters.
Thank you.
And I'll speak from personal experience. Once you get used to quitting, it's not bad at all. You know, I enjoy not smoking, you know. Financially, physically, you know, the whole nine yards, you know. But seriously, it's a habit like anything else, and you become addicted to it like you can be addicted to alcohol or drugs.
Right.
So, you know, it's very worthwhile to quit.
Absolutely. And we have to protect our kids as well.
Absolutely. I agree. I can't thank you enough, Amanda and Rose, because, you know, it's a great project what you're doing. And it's a great line of work what you're doing, helping people. And, you know, I really mean that, you know.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here speaking with
you.
And it was awesome. And time flies. And we have to leave. So remember, folks, this Thursday, quit smoking and stay healthy. We'll see you again next week. Same time, same station.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families, for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdenhealthcare.org.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.